Well, look here with me at 1 Samuel 22. David had been dwelling in a cave, and his father and his mother and his brothers come down to be with him. And everyone, you know, we dealt with that last week. They heard. Got to hear. They heard of David. We've heard of Christ. We come to Him. And everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves, and this is what I like, unto Him. Unto Him. And so David, now David's going to go back to Judah. He's leaving the cave and he's going to go back to Judah. Bethlehem is in Judah. He's of the tribe of Judah. Paul said he was of the tribe of Benjamin. Our Lord Jesus Christ was of the tribe of Judah. And so here we go. And it said, now first thing I want you to notice is that David honors his father and his mother. Look in verse 3 and 4. First thing David did, you know, his father's house went down to him, and David went then to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him, and all the while that was David was in the hold. David honored his father and his mother. His whole family came to him. And the reason they came to him was because it wasn't safe in the land. You know, Saul would just as soon hurt his family as hurt him. Destroy his brothers, destroy his mother, his father. And they'd been dwelling with him down there when he was in that cave. And their home was in Bethlehem of Judah. That's where they was from. That's where Christ was born, in Bethlehem. And I'll tell you, David didn't want his parents to suffer. Didn't want them to suffer hardship. Didn't want them to suffer and wonderings about with him. And you know that's what our Lord Jesus Christ was about his mother. When our Lord, as they were standing, three Marys and John and some, I can't think of the other person, they're standing around the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord Jesus looked at his mother and says, Mother, behold your son, talking about John. And he said, John, behold your mother. And so from that day on, our Lord thought of his own mother in his dying hour, that someone would love her and care for her and take care of her and keep her until the Lord called her home. And here there was no safe place. There was no safe place in the land as long as Saul hated and pursued David. So that's why they all came to him, because they know that, and that's the only safe place for us is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we gather unto him. There's not a, I'll tell you what, I've often said this, if there's one just a tiny part of me outside of Christ, just as sure as God's on his throne, the devil will get it. But I want, you preached on clothed in Christ, buried in Christ, submersed in Christ. That's the safest place. The best place to be is in Christ, in God. Yeah. Nobody can get you. And the only one that is going to come and get you is going to be God Himself and Christ Himself. I heard a fellow say one time, the safest place to hide from God is in God. Yes. And why did David ask and trust the Moabites to give his parents asylum? Why did he do that? You know, you remember the story of the Moabites. Lot was the father of the Moabites with his daughters. And Saul warred against these Moabites. But let me tell you, back Ruth. Look back, Ruth is the book right before Samuel. Ruth is that little book right before Samuel. You all know the story of Ruth. How that a certain man of them, of Ramoth, Mount Ephraim, he went down into Moab. Right here before 1 Samuel, the book of Ruth, four little chapters. They went down and she got married. Their son, he died and their sons died and she had these two widows that was with her. And look what it says down here in verse 1:14. Well, that's, excuse me, I'm sorry. Yeah, 1:14. No, wait. I'm Samuel. Good grief, I'm not in Ruth. I keep going over there. I've done that today. Here we go. All right. Verse 14 of chapter 1 of Ruth. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave unto her. They said, send them all back where they come from, back up in Moab. And Ruth clave to her, cling to her, said, I'm going to stay right where you are. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is going back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not. Don't be against me. Don't be against me. Don't cause me to leave you or to return from falling after you. Whether you go, I'll go. Where thou lodgest, I'll lodge. And my people shall be my people. And where you die, I'll die. And more also if death part me and thee. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left off speaking to her. Yeah, you know who Ruth was? Ruth was Jesse, David's great-grandmother. Now look over here in chapter 4. This is why he went down there. This is why he went down there. Oh my. Look at verse 17. The woman and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name. You know, when Ruth had her baby, had a little boy. And there's a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. That's why Saul called him the son of Jesse, the son of Jesse, the son of Jesse. And oh my, Ruth was David's great-grandmother. And it says in verse 21, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed. Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. That's why he went down there. There's his kinfolks. They was people he could trust them with. He knew these people down there. And so he took his mother and father to a place where they'd be well, well cared for. And then look what it said back up there in verse 3. This is an astounding statement to me. In the last part of the verse, he says, I pray thee, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you. Now listen to this. Till I know what God will do for me. Well, I want you to notice he didn't say, what I'm going to do for God. He said, I'm going to wait and see what God will do with me. I'm in His hands. I'm in His will. I'm His servant. I've been called of Him, anointed of Him. I'm His, I belong to Him, and I don't know what He'll do with me. He may put me on the throne, He may put me in the dust. I know one thing, He left me in a cave for a long time, and I know one thing, He's letting a king come after me. And I know this, He said, I don't know, I gotta wait and see what God will do for me. And you know what he's doing? He's saying, what he's saying is, I submit to the will of God, whatever it may be. Now that's the heart, you know, people, we all nod our head and say, yes, 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 we want to submit to the will of God. We want to kiss the hand of God's providence. We'd like to be like Eli. When God said he's going to kill your two sons. And you know what Eli said? It's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good unto him. Never said a word about it. And I tell you, a glory submitting to the Lord's will. It takes a long, you got to go to the school of experience a few times before you really know what it is to submit to the will of God. You got to be in God's school, not the school of, you know, when God puts you in school and God begins to deal with you and teach you, one thing He'll teach you is that I am God, and whether you like it or not, my will is going to be done. So you just as well kiss my hand and to say thank you, Lord, and bless your holy name. We can read about it in books. But it's only as God hammers and hammers and hammers and hammers and hammers it into our brains and hearts and souls that we can say, Lord, what will Thou do? And then when He says, this is what I'm going to do, when we know we're in the end of the day, we know what He's done. Fran said, I'll tell you what, I was in such pain I didn't want to live in the condition I was in. Go on, be with Christ. And I tell you, beloved, David knows what it is to wait upon the Lord. You know what he said? Be still. Be still. Be quiet. Be restful. Be peaceful. And know that I am God. I tell you, I wouldn't have it no other way, would you? It took me a little, you know, I don't know that I'm there yet, but I'll be there one of these days. I do know that. When he said, Lord, not my will be done, but thine, one of these days I'll be able to say that from the depth of my heart and soul. And one of these days when I get to glory, I'll really know what it is for his will to be done in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Oh, and David was learning. And I tell you, look over here in Psalm 42 with me. Psalm 42. Look what David said about some things over here. And we all been here. We have all been here before. And in Psalm 42, all of us has been there. I've been there, and I know I've been there. Some of you have been there, and we'll be there again. Psalm 42, look what he says here in verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you bowed down? Why are you so heavy of heart? Why are you so heavy? And why, O my soul, why are you disquieted in me? I'm troubled, troubled, troubled. And listen to what he said. Hope thou in God. And look what he said. I don't care what's going on. I'm going to yet praise him for the help of his countenance. When my soul is disquieted and I'm bowed down, I'm going to hope in him, and I'm going to praise him for the help, what he said, of his countenance, him looking at me, seeing me. Look what he said in verse 6. Oh God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, of the hill of the Hermonites, and from the hill of Mizar. And look what he says down in verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? You ever ask yourself the kind of questions when you get really down? Just get up one day and you don't know what in the world is going on. You just get up and you're just down. You're just down. You just go down trodden in your heart. You cast, oh, why art thou cast down, O my soul? What's the matter with you? Why art thou disquieted within me? And he tells his soul this. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Oh my. I wait and know what God will do for me. That's a million miles from what religion thinks. Oh, it's what I do for God. No. First time I heard anybody say this, and Scott Richards just said, he said, it's not what you do for God, it's what God does for you. And when people learn that it's what God has to do for them, you know what they'll do? They'll just sit still, and they'll rejoice, and they'll be thankful, and they'll bless the name of the Lord. Huh? All right, look what he says here now in verse 5. There's a prophet. Here's the first time we've heard of a prophet going to David. And this is the first time his name's ever mentioned, only mentioned one other time in the Scriptures. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hole, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Herod. And David obeys God's prophet. When God sent a prophet to him, told him what to do, David said, okay, all right, I'll not argue with you. I'll not debate with you. God, he said, what God will do with me? He said, first thing he's going to do with you, I'm going to send you back to Judah. Going to send you back home. And the prophet said, go into Judah. And what God was doing, David's such a type of Christ. What God was doing, he is gathering the excellent of the earth unto David. And who is the type of the Lord Jesus Christ in his rejection? And though he was hated, despised, and rejected, and yet God gathered all the people unto him. David, all those that was mistreated, all those who were in distress and debt and in need, all of them was gathered unto David. The excellent of the earth was being found unto David. And here we have a prophet, we have a priest, and we have a king. And David's the king, Gad's the prophet, and Abiathar, you know, escaped, and he went over to David's, and so he had all three of the officers were there. And that's the way our master, our Lord Jesus Christ, first is a prophet. He come to tell us of God, to tell us the will of God, reveal to us the Word of God, make us to understand God. We couldn't understand God apart from Christ. We wouldn't know anything about God apart from Christ. And so he's a prophet. And then he's a priest. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the high priest made forever after the order of Melchizedek. And not only is he the priest, but he's the sacrifice and the priest who offered it. It was his altar. He was the altar on which that sacrifice was offered. And he was the God who accepted it. Now you explain that to me. But that's right. He is our altar, is that not right? Was he not our sacrifice? Was he not the high priest who offered it? Did he not prepare himself a body? And then these fellows put on these robes and run around dressed like a woman and want to be called father, and they can't bury any children. Oh my goodness. But oh my. And God honors and blesses these offices. He blessed David to be king. He blessed Gad to be a prophet. And he blessed Abiathar, who was preserved and took the ephod and the Urim and the Thummim. And here David comes, and like our master, he is confronted with a real test of faith to return unto the country and be out in the open and go back into the country where he was hated and hunted and all the enemies are after him. And ain't that the way it was with our master? His own disciples said to him, his brethren said to him one time, he said, if you do these things, everybody that does anything wants to be seen of men. They said, we understand that. And so why don't you go on up to Jerusalem and do all these wonderful things up there and let everybody know who you really are, if you who you say you are. And our Lord Jesus went up later, cause. You know why? They would have tried to, you know how many times they tried to take him? And he wouldn't return unto Judah again. Why? Because he's hated there. And he knows what would happen there. But how many times did our Lord move in and out among his enemies? How many times would somebody lay wait for it? And the Apostle Paul, how many times did they lay wait for it? And he always, God always saved him. They come to make him king, he just went away. They come to take him one time, they couldn't because they got to listen to him preach and they was mesmerized. The Jews, got together one time and said, oh, let's just get a bunch and go after him. Well, but they're afraid of the people. Afraid of the people. And our Lord moved among his enemies. And I'll tell you something else he does right now. I do know this. He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And that's evidenced by lots of us. Ain't that right? Yeah, he makes his enemy. I was an enemy. I don't know if you was or not, but I was an enemy. I remember as a very young man, I hadn't been out back from overseas very long. And I remember, I thought, well, he's probably a good man. He's probably a prophet. Probably has some wonderful qualities about him. But I didn't think no more of Jesus Christ than I did anybody else. I didn't. And here I tell you what, and I was an enemy. What did he do? He made me to be at peace with Him. Mm-hmm. You know, make your peace with God, I couldn't do it. But He did. He made peace in my heart, slew the enmity, made peace in my understanding, made peace in my conscience, and He brought peace to be between me and God. He has to bring peace. Now I tell you what, it's a wonderful, wonderful, glorious God and Christ and Savior who would take His enemies and say, I'm going to make you at peace with me. I'm going to make you love me and like me and like to be around me. Oh, my. And I tell you what, I'm certainly thankful He did that.
Yes, indeed.
And look what David hears, Saul hears now. Oh, my, look what Saul. This is how our Lord Jesus Christ was. They hated Him so much. Down here in verse 6. When Saul heard that David was discovered, and the men that were with him, they found out David's back into Judah now. He's not in that cave anymore. Now Saul abode in Gibeah, sitting under a big tree down there, having his spear in his hand, sitting there with a big spear in his hand. All of his servants standing around him. A bunch of men standing around him. Well, he's going to show what a wicked, despicable creature he is. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him, Hear now, you Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you captains of thousands, captains of hundreds? What he's saying was, will David be able to do for you what I've done for you? Will David be able to make you wealthy? Will David be able, has he got enough men to make you to be a captain over 100 or captains over thousands? What can David do for you? What can David do for you? What in the world? Listen, can David do this things for you that I've done for you? Well, he's going to find out. But I tell you what, I want you to notice here. He never mentioned God. Never mentioned God. Huh? Never mentioned God. He had no regard for God's glory, God's honor. Only thing he was interested in was himself. You're talking about somebody like our generation, only thought of himself. Hey, what he's saying, you won't get any rewards or you won't have any prominent positions if David becomes king. You won't have nothing like I've done for you. And oh my. And then look what he does. And that's the first thing. That's the first lie Satan told. That's the first. You know, you'll be as gods. You won't need God anymore. Oh my. Then he charges his followers with conspiracy. Look here in verse 8, that all of you have conspired against me. You know, if there's somebody like that around today, you know what you'd call them? Paranoid. Paranoid. Boy, that guy's got problems. That's the first thing you say. If I come in here and said, all y'all conspired against me, you know what you'd do? You'd call the doctors. And you ought to. You know, but here he comes in and he says, all of you have conspired against me. Not just one or two of you, all of you. And there's none of you that showed me that my son had joined up and had a covenant with David. Oh, they didn't tell me about that covenant that God made, that David and Jonathan made together, and how they loved one another, and how Jonathan protected David against his father. He said, none of you told me that. And listen to this, and there's none of you that's sorry for me. Oh, nobody feels sorry for me. This is a king. This is a grown man. This is a king. And these are his followers. This is his servants. And he says, you all conspired against me. You didn't tell me about David and Jonathan, the great love that they had and the covenant they entered in together. And none of you sorry for me. I tell you, if they'd take a fellow like that and put him away, if he lived. It needs to be. Needs to be. Oh my, self-pity. That's one of the most miserable things in the world, is somebody to pity themselves. And after a believer, it's just unbelievable that a believer would have self-pity. Have just, you know, to have self-pity. Why does this happen to me? Nobody seems to think about me. Nobody seems to be sorry for me. Nobody seems to even care what I do, what I think, what I feel, anything like that. That's self-pity. We don't want, listen, what have we got to pity of ourselves about? I'll tell you one thing, I do know that God said that we are pitiful and that God looks on the pitiful. I'll be pitiful before Him, but I won't be no pity before myself. Would you? What do we got to be self-pitied about? Oh, people just don't think about me. But I tell you, His heart was evil. His heart was full of jealousy. And you know what the Bible says about jealousy? Jealousy is crueler than the grave. Jealousy, the grave will come and take somebody that you love and that you care for, and it will not give him back. You cannot get them back out of that grave. You can't get them back. And he said jealousy is worse than that. Jealousy wants to take your character. Jealousy wants to take your home. Jealousy wants to take your name. Jealousy, if it had its way, would kill you and destroy everything about you and leave you with nothing and then rejoice over you being brought to nothing. That's how cruel jealousy is. Jealousy will not let anybody have rest. It's malice. Jealousy is like malice. I can't stand it. I just can't stand that they're having this. I can't stand that he's got that. And oh my. And I tell you, here his friends, his servants, he treated them like enemies. And you know why? I tell you, a person like this thinks everybody's just like him. Said, if I'm this way, that's where everybody else is. And that's what he thinks. That was his mistake. And oh my. And he charges Jonas falsely. Now look what happens down here. Oh my. You remember our Lord Jesus Christ. They charged his followers. They said they're like Samaritans. There's wine bibbers, they're drunkards, they're harlots, they're publicans, they're sinners. What an awful thing that a sinner would come to Christ. That's what they charged him with. But now look what happens. Nobody's sorry for me. And they saw my son stirred up David against me to lie in wait for me this day. So he accused his son of helping David to lie in wait for him. Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him victuals and gave him the sword of Goliath. Now I want you to know something. None of that happened. He saw David eat showbread, and he saw him get the sword of Goliath. But he never heard Ahimelech inquire of the Lord for him. And David makes known David's secret visit to Elimelech getting food. And I tell you what, you know, here's the thing about it. He says that he said he inquired of the Lord for him. Now here's all you got to do. And this is serious business. I really want you to listen to this. He did see David eat food. He did see David get the sword. But then he added something to it which made it so much worse than it really was. He said that Ahimelech inquired of the Lord for David. And Ahimelech didn't do that. So what he's done is to make himself look good and to get on the good side of Saul. He said, I saw David down there. And I tell you what, he was whispering around with the priest and whispering around with Ahimelech. And I tell you what, and that, you know, all you've got to do is just change one little part of a story and change the whole meaning of it. You know that? You can use by inference. Well, I don't know if this really happened, but I think maybe it did. You know, and by inference, you can get somebody to think, well, you know, they could have done that. And what you know, next thing you know, you're sitting around looking at folks suspicious. Said, boy, you reckon they did that? And so, you know, whenever you, to do your dead level best, if you're telling something, tell it the way it really was. Don't add to it or take away from it. And if it comes out wrong the first time, go back and say, well, I was wrong the first time. Here I am. I'm going to remake what I just told you. I mean, that's being honest. He said, be honest with all men. Be honest with all men. But this is the fruit of jealousy and hatred. Look what it says in verse 11. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahinadab, and all his father's house, the priests that were in Nob, they came, all of them came to the king. And Saul said, hear thou now, thou son Ahinadab. And he answered, here I am, my lord. Saul said, here's the first thing Saul said. Why have you conspired against me? You and the son of Jesse. Why have you conspired against me? Here he all goes again. Doeg left the impression that Ahimelech conspired with David, which he didn't do. Said he inquired of the Lord. And don't never bear false witness against anybody. If you don't know what happened, say, I don't know. I didn't see it. Do whatever you have to do. But if you tell a story, tell it just like it was. That's no different than inventing a lie and telling a lie when you embellish the truth. And all Saul was second in Israel behind the high priest. And all he said, and why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse? You gave him bread. You gave him a sword. And you inquired of God for him, that he should rise up against me to lie in wait as at this day. He's hid waiting on me, going to ambush me. Then look what Ahimelech answered the king and said, boy, you're talking about me. Here's a faithful man. Here's a loyal man. Here's a man who told it like it was. And this is the way we are about our master. This is the way we are about our Lord Jesus. Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, who is so faithful among all thy servants as David? What service do you have that's more faithful than David? Huh? And he's the king's son-in-law. And when you tell him to go somewhere, he goes. And he's honorable in thy house. So why in the world do you want to be against Jesse? He said, there's nobody like him in your whole house. You thought that brought him down a little bit. Thought it'd calm him down. But oh no. No, no. Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? This is the priest talking now. Be it far from me. Let not the king impute anything unto thy servant to all the house of my father. For thy servant didn't know anything about this. I didn't know anything about it one way or another. And oh my. This is what. And Doeg's lies revealed right there. But he don't care. And he faithfully witnessed of David. And that's what we got to do. Faithfully witness of our master no matter what. And you look what the king said in verse 16. You shall surely die, Ahimelech. You and all your father's house. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. What did he do? What did he do besides give David some showbread and a sword? Oh. Saul's reasoning is because his hands with David and didn't let me know, he charged him with treason and rebellion. And the king said unto his footmen that stood about in verse 17, turn and slay the priests of the Lord. Because, and here's his reasoning, because their hand is also with David. Now you imagine if this is what he's going to do to the priest, the service of the Most High God, called of God, put in the priesthood by God. If this is what he's going to do to them, imagine what he had done to David's mother and David's father and David's brothers. But look what he said. Because they knew when he fled. and did not show it to me. They didn't come and tell me about it. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priest of the Lord. Said, nope, we're not going to do that. If you're going to do it, if it's going to be done, I'm not going to be the one to do it. I'm not going to kill no priest. I'm not going to kill somebody that God put into office. But there's always somebody willing to do the most wicked, wicked thing. And the king said to Doeg, turn you and fall upon the priest. And Doeg the Edomite turned. And he fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod. Oh my. Ain't that awful? That's what jealousy will do for you. That'll what it'll do for you. And then Nob, the city of the priest, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men, women, children, suckling, oxen, ass, sheep, with the edge of the sword. And only one escaped of sons of Himelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar would be a great blessing and comfort to David. So David, when he returned to Judah, it's like our Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked in right among his enemies, walked right in front of them. You know, when our Lord Jesus Christ was standing before Pilate, just like when Saul was standing there talking to Ahimelech, he was standing before Pilate, and Pilate said, ask him about his disciples and his doctrine. He said, well, ask them that heard me. He said, I spoke openly in the temple, and where the priests and then the Pharisees always resort. And everything that I spoke openly. I didn't do nothing in secret. Everything I did openly. And he said, if you want to know what I believe and what I've taught, that, ask them who heard me. Ask the priest himself, ask them who heard me. Ask them who heard me. And because he told him that, there was a man stood by him and slapped him, just like Doeg would have done. Answers like that, he said, why did you smite me? If I spoke evil, show me what evil I've done. And that's what happened here. They couldn't find no evil, but the man who did it was evil. That's what jealousy will do for you. What he did here to all these priests and what he sought to do to David. But thank God, our David. David, through all this, you know where you're going to find him? Sitting on his throne. After all this happens, you know, we know the end of the story. All this happened to our master. But we know the end of the story. David's on his throne. And he's ruling. Amen. Our Father, bless your holy name. Thank you for allowing us to meet here tonight. Thank you for the goodness and grace of God given to us in Christ. Lord, thank you for these dear saints of God and for their attention. Lord, it's nothing like your people. And Lord, we again pray for those among us, Dorotha, Bill, Fran, Bill Kirkpatrick, Bruce, Sandy, Bruce and Joe. People that we love, and you love them so. Oh, you love them. Oh, you love them. Oh, how you love them. And so, Lord, we plead your love to do for them what only you can do, believing that you will, and bring glory to self in doing it, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power. Yes, he is.